All right, we're still in Luke 8:25, but we're studying faith. And so in Hebrews 11 for the word faith. Anybody have any response to yesterday's talk about faith?
What's a personal example of exercising, if that's the right word? We talked about it
actually. What's a perfect example of what?
Of faith.
A personal or perfect?
Personal. Mm-hmm. Testimony, if you will. How is it expressed in us experientially?
Well, for me, it was massive. I mean, over and over and over again. Never, I could never do anything to help myself.
But lately?
When's lately?
The last time you could say you...
It's every day. I never lean on my own arm of understanding. I never try to figure it out.
Give me an event, an exact thing where faith was... You can't even say apply. I mean, the words are hard here, but it's faith emptying.
Yes,
it's
both.
Denying.
It's everything. It's when you not if you use no talent that you have to accomplish an end. Rather, you wait.
Yeah, and I know it's done all the time. But my call is: does anybody have an experience where they didn't exercise self, or does it happen on a level where it's not conscious?
Well, the whole process, again, this is what's so difficult to understand, is that unless faith is automatic, it's not faith.
That's why it's hard to talk about.
And so it's like, give me an example when you breathe. I mean, it's everything. But you can't, you know that you've left faith when you return to trying to figure it out on your own. Whatever it is, in every aspect of life.
See, Tom's a good example right now. He's struggling with this job thing.
Well, I know.
And this is about faith. It's because everything naturally causes him to want to do something, and yet faith is saying, wait, believe.
Yeah, but faith says... Simply be faithful to what is put in front of you. You're never judged by what you don't have.
Yeah, I think that's part of the key. It brings it down to the moment. It's not I'll have faith tomorrow when this comes up. It's just the moment. Independence.
Well, but it's also this issue of it's on the massively biggest things, like whether or not you eat or not, and it's on the massively little or microscopically little things, like whether or not you use cause and effect to accomplish an end. And as we continue in this mystery, that path of what you are, what you can do, becomes narrower and narrower and narrower. So finally, there's nothing that you can do that would be based on cause and effect, because you've come out of her, my people. You stopped touching the unclean thing. And in each and every one of the instances, it becomes as it's this mystery of it's been proven to your own self over and over and over and over in a thousand, hundreds of thousands of different ways. But if you don't exercise it, then you'll never know it. It's just a philosophy. And that's the only way to describe it.
Even that word exercising it is strange in the realm of faith, because then you're having to make choices and decisions when in fact...
That's not what exercise means in the Bible. You've been exercised so that you discern soul from spirit. And that's where you fundamentally reach the tire meets the road, so to speak. Is that you never have any truck with soul power anymore. Everything is based on spirit, and you can instantly recognize it.
Yeah, I think seeing is the element in here.
Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Now, how do you prove that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? You remember, reprobate is this crazy word. It's a word that means incapable of repentance. It's not talking about the repentance of the world. Everybody's capable of the repentance of the world. But you're incapable of godly repentance, not to be repented of, because you only know by philosophy that Jesus Christ is in you. He hasn't been tested in you. So examine yourselves. Prove whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now the problem here is that there's a whole lot of people who claim to be believers that have no understanding of what repentance is. And that's the sad, because they haven't been exercised. They haven't been taught to discern soul from spirit. They haven't been taught to discern philosophy from life. Go to 1 Corinthians 7.
Well, in the context of what we just said, what does the word prove imply? Or
it means it's tested so completely that there is not a shadow of turning. You know that you know that you know, so you're no longer two minds.
But to get to that place, there has to be, you have to really, I guess, look at yourself. It says examine, prove.
This is the only place in the scriptures that it says to examine yourself. And the only thing you're asked to examine yourself for is to prove that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you. It's easy to say. But how is that exercised in your life? How is that made manifest? Well, it has to be made manifest in everything, or else we're just talking philosophy. Right, because otherwise, that's why repentance is impossible if you don't know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your life. How can you possibly repent, meaning abandon yourself, if there's nothing left there? You don't know. You can't do it. You'll have, your God will be somebody that's far off. And so you can get by with all the hypocrisy, because there's no zeal, because you got all kinds of time. Well, I'll take care of that later. Windows are shaking.
That really does make Christianity dangerous.
Well, that's pretty, we've studied that so many times. It's just the difference between the sorrow of the or repentance of the world leads to sorrow. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. That's what sorrow means. And the repentance of God leads us to joy. Because finally you know that you know that you know. So you stop anything that has anything to do with having, you know, having, touching the unclean thing. Now, how do you, again, we live in a society in which this was easily tested in the desert. If God didn't provide, you died. But here, you know, it's just sort of gray. Excuse me. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 11. We stopped at verse 12 yesterday. Therefore, spraying them, it's talking about Sarah conceiving a child. Therefore, spraying there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as many as and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, this is everything. This is where zeal is. This is where faith is. This is where everything is. It's location of sphere. If there is any aspect of your life for which this is your home, time and space, then you're still waiting for something to happen. And because you're still waiting for something to happen, that gives you time to continue on your own. For me, I mean, there's nothing here. There's nothing in time and space. So, read carefully. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't confess by their words, they confessed by their life. This cliche that we've talked about a few times in the last time period is, if you were on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? That's pretty interesting. Yesterday, I had quite a session with one of the people that's visiting us. And I talked at length about how his natural response to every stimulus is to please whoever he's with. And that is, there's something about that that just makes my skin crawl. In the world, that's called psychophancy, if I'm pronouncing it right. But it's like there has to be some evidence that you're no longer interested in pleasing men. I mean, that's, Paul said it clearly, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And how do you, you know, how is this dealt with on a person-to-person basis? How is this dealt with? And I mean, are you exhorting one another daily while it is still called today? If you see someone that's doing that, are you exhorting? I mean, not in the world. There's a, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. And I've heard the discussion over and over and over throughout my whole life, since I've been a believer. Well, that's just the way I am, Ole. No, it's not. That's the way you learn to be. And you fundamentally learned to be that way so that you would avoid conflict. Avoiding conflict is cowardice, and it's also no faith. Does anybody understand that? We have annual deals that we go through every year on the feast schedule, and that's why they're there. And so the three pilgrimage feasts, anything, any ought against anybody has to be dealt with. And then during the summer months, and the hottest part of it is when all idolatry is to be examined and confessed and burned. But which shouldn't even, I mean, and we're extremely unbelievably fortunate because we have that opportunity. But we can get set in those cycles and not see why they're there. We're doing them because it's just what we do. Now, every year, you know, the whole, right now, everything in body, mind, and spirit is preparing, or should be preparing, for Passover. And this is, and it's this thing, that's this great quote in the Talmud. Why do you put us through this every year? Well, we put it through. It has nothing to do with the feast except as a revelation of Christ. And it has there's so much of that preparation for the feast, and the instrumentality surrounding the feasts is about this issue of idolatry. Now, the core of wanting of avoiding conflict is idolatry. And it's as natural, if you haven't seen it yet, if you haven't seen that that's what you're doing, or you see it every once in a while maybe, then for you, avoiding conflict is as natural as breathing. Because the idol has that much control over you, so that you believe, as I said earlier a few minutes ago, well, that's just the way I am. No. That's just the way you learn to be. That's just the way you you certainly, you're not, you don't avoid conflict in your minds. Every once in a while that comes out, but in your mind you still have, you know, the pointing of the finger, and it's all there. But for some way you can't say it. Why can't you say it? If it's there, you got to say it. Then you would then see how much of your life, how much energy is based on conflict avoidance. And I would wager it's a huge percentage of your energy is based on conflict avoidance. Now, conflict avoidance, by definition, is no faith. Does everybody understand that? And conflict avoidance really at the core says that if you believe somebody else is doing something that's wrong, or that's, and you still just hold it in, what that does is it prevents you from ever loving that person. Because you've already judged them down. What?
This is the arena, this is the birthplace of idols. Because your idol will give you something to believe in and accept God, but it will protect you from speaking or revealing yourself.
Yeah, because what you do is, it's this constant thing that goes on about self-redemption. Self-redemption, we can see it in many people. It's obvious. Their self-redemption is they're always trying to do good for people. They're trying to help. Well, it doesn't take a spiritual genius to see what they're doing. They feel so inadequate in themselves that helping people is their identity. Well, and then it's self-redemption. It has nothing to do with the blood of Christ as their only redeemer.
How would that line up with those who have the ministry of helps? That's what they're...
Well, because the ministry of helps is certainly... they're helping as unto God, not as unto men. The evidence that it's an idol is that if they have an investment in the outcome.
And typically that investment is I'll avoid conflict if I...
Well, that's part of it. But the point that, you know, I mean...
Care how it's taken, how it's received, or how...
Right.
How it's used.
I mean, we've seen that hundreds of times here. It's in the world, it would be called compassion fatigue. Well, they didn't. Therefore, I'm... You or they that justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. It's abomination because the evil one is sitting on the temple. Christ has no investment in the outcome except the Father. It's the Father's business. But my point, the reason we got in all this with regard to faith, is that there's much that you do that's automatic, and you think it's just the way you are. And I would ask that you see that if it's any part of it at all is conflict avoidance, that there would be repentance. Because otherwise, you will believe that's just who you are. Well, what it is, that's not true at all. What it is this is what you've learned to be and to do to avoid conflict. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's enough for today. Anybody have any other... response to this?
One for me is it's we avoid conflict with each other, but we also avoid conflict with God, thinking we're blessing Him. In all cases, we're trying to protect ourselves.
How do you do that? I'd like to know how you do that.
God.
Yeah, let me talk to me. I'd like to know how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that does that. Do you? Faking God out?
You fake
yourself out.
No, I don't think you're faking God out. You must. That's just lunacy.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, I mean, that's why. Again, I'm not going. We don't have time to do this again. But I'll just mention. That's why there's a difference between philosophy and confession. Amen. All right. We haven't even hardly touched faith yet. All right, take it, big guy.